Your readings, Flesh Wound Horror Freaks, and welcome to a brand new episode of Flesh Wound Horror. I am Daniel Gines, joined by the Predator, Todd Loya.
What's up?
Mike Kruger.
What's up, you sick motherfuckers?
Pugs Dread.
Namaste. What's up?
And our special guest, the big dog, Ozzy B.
No sell it.
Moving on.
I was going to acknowledge him. That's cool.
No. Can we at least just say, like, I'm on loan from Flesh Wound Farce, because this is Flesh Wound Horror, but as we covered Ghostbusters on Flesh Wound Farce, it's kind of a hybrid thing, so not necessarily.
It to be under the Farce brand, because you guys did that.
Now, I'm actually curious, in a Blockbuster or, you know, old school video store, where would you put this? In the horror section or the comedy section?
Oh, horror.
Horror.
Original Ghostbusters you'd put in the horror section.
Comedy.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's hard, but it's definitely ones interchangeable.
When it's, you have, sure, photo. But you have Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray, you put that shit in comedy.
Harold Ramis, too.
Cast would put it in comedy, but this is the original one. Is literally the perfect 50-50, and they've never got the formula right again, or did they today? But Ghostbusters 2 doesn't do it right. The female one doesn't do it right. No one has. No, most movies have not.
I disagree.
Got that 50-50.
Ghostbusters 2 is only second to the Ghostbusters remake a few years ago.
Well, what if Dan Aykroyd played John Wayne Gacy? You're not putting that in the comedy section.
We'll see how the movie goes, because he does dramatic roles too.
He was in Pearl Harbor, and I would put that movie in the comedy section, mainly because it stars Ben Affleck and Josh Hartnett.
I would agree with that one. Yeah,
I'm going to say like this: there's arguments for both, but you're not wrong in either section.
Yeah,
there you go.
Two copies, put one in each.
Oh, hold on. Does Ozzy have one fan?
What's going on here?
Wow. Daily Ghost says,
That's such an asshole. Nice. Clever. Yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah, all right.
What?
No, I'm not going to get into this. This isn't about me. This is about Ghostbusters Afterlife.
No, Daily Ghost is a regular. Do you have heat with Daily Ghost?
I know, but there's some private school heat with that.
Oh, we're on private school again? Your number one episode, Ozzy.
I think you heard his name.
Number one episode. Daily Ghost, you brought up, there was a comment on private school you made, and Ozzy was, I don't even remember what it was, but that's a whole other thing.
Private school.
Wait a second. I'm not remembering things correctly. The only reason I thought the Daily Ghost was a prank is because of the time that you like to put an image up of what appears to be a ghost behind me.
Oh, no, he's a Daily Ghost is a user that's a regular on YouTube.
Okay.
Well, then maybe he's not the one who made the private school comment. I don't remember. I thought that was the...
A lot of people did, because private school is freaking brilliant.
You want to bring up Daniel Shine's last comment? Fucking gay.
No, I think God didn't want me to freak out, so God sent a little tremor just now, and that's what kind of paused me and distracted me from whatever garbage keeping Dan's mouth.
Dan is accusing you of having dementia.
Would you like to cut promos on anybody else in the chat? Ben Grimm's here. You can say something to him.
No, I'm good. I just, like I explained, I thought it was just Todd being a dick. Statistically speaking, as he just said, 50-50 is a flip a coin, you know?
All right.
That's why I'm the number one predator.
So who are we going to call?
I figured you'd be in a better mood, being that you became supreme champion by putting Big E down the other night. But anyways, on that note, this is a movie we've been waiting for a very long time. Some would say Ghostbusters 2, since 2016 was not particularly popular. And it's...
some would say 84 since the original.
I probably would be the one that would say 84,
I'm here. The remake is better than 2.
Oh, 100%.
That's a whole nother show.
Wouldn't go that far.
Wait a second. Wait. Wait, no, not the one we just talked to, not the one we're talking about today. The remake, I didn't even see the remake, so I can't categorize that.
It's not as bad as everyone makes it out. It's not great, but everyone gets
their
fucking...
I don't really see it as the same universe. I heard Dan Aykroyd makes a cameo as a taxi driver.
They all make cameos.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not as Bankman or...
Even a bust makes a cameo. Well, anyway, we're going to talk about Afterlife.
I know.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say I'll start stroking off the Ecto-1 in that one because that one's beautiful.
Anyway.
The only thing I'll say about it before we move on is I would agree it's not as bad as its reputation. It's not that great either, but yeah. Kate McKinnon.
We're shitting on it.
We are not talking about this movie because I didn't see it, so I didn't have nothing to contribute.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's in 3D, so.
All right, Ghostbusters Afterlife, the new film from Jason Reitman. When a single mom and her two kids arrive in a small town, they begin to discover their connection to the original Ghostbusters and the secret legacy their grandfather left behind. So, confession time, I did not get to see it yet, so I'm going to be in host mode tonight. But, all right, Ozzy. Special guest tonight. What did you think of Ghostbusters Afterlife? Did it live
up? Wait a second. Wait, can I just clarify something? I heard something and I was just kind of. Did you say
you heard right
yet?
What?
Did you say you hadn't seen this movie yet?
I have not. I didn't get to it yet. I'm just hosting.
Boot him, Todd.
Yeah.
What is happening? We're 10 minutes already, and the host didn't watch what we're talking about?
I wasn't able to get to it. Christmas Light.
This movie is fucking awesome. I love the third act. I choked up. That's how much I like this fucking movie. The first two acts are great too, but like the last one in particular, home fucking run for me. So that's my review with no spoilers. Ozzy, as a guest, please continue while this fucking host doesn't do his damn job.
Yeah. No, you surmised.
Spoilers.
If I could just give a non-spoiler-ish, review of it, I enjoyed it through and through. And is there a TV, in the background that somebody has on? I'm hearing,
watching Paw Patrol, I believe.
Oh, is the kid in the room? Is that what's going on? Yeah. Oh, I think they turned it down a little bit.
Yes, I'm sorry. He got a little too close.
There it was. I thought it was like a ghost playing a tape recorder, in my head because of what we're talking about. But then I knew that couldn't be the case. Anyhow, one thing that I did want to highlight that I felt they did very well is each of the new characters you come to, know or whatnot, it's the main character is the granddaughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
That we all discover from the commercials and the trailer. Her lines are very much like Egon's lines, right? Mm-hmm. And then she gains a friend
in
the film, and the friend acts like Ray totally, And then there's another character that would actually say the things that Venkman would say. And there's actually a line that is said between the two where he asks her to explain something and she says, "God, would it kill you to read a book?" Which in my head I could totally envision Spengler saying to Venkman.
I think that was a line in the original.
It was.
Well, there you go. And the kid that is supposed to be like the Ray when they first see the first, I mean, this is like in the commercials they all see the ghost or whatever in the trailer it's seen. But when they said, "What are we going to do now?" and he says, "We're going to get him." Like that totally kicked me back to Ray, like, go get her, Ray, or even like get him, right? Or her in the library. But it was a very good job of making me at least feel comfortable of like, oh, I could. It's like it definitely feels like another. I don't know.
It's in the world of Ghostbusters.
It's in that universe. Yeah. You know what I mean? Whereas
it felt right.
Commercials I even saw for the remake, now granted I didn't see it, it just didn't like feel right. It just felt like, oh, this is a property that you can just interchange comedic actors or actresses, and that could be a vehicle for that. Whereas this, it actually understood it more as, no, this isn't just like a group of comedic actors got together and just made a comedy. This actually had a world to it, and this added another level to it. It was almost kind of like watching, I don't know, and maybe this isn't fair because they're so close together, but like Back to the Future 1 and Back to the Future 2. If I saw Back to the Future 1 by itself, okay, cool. But seeing Back to the Future 2, luckily, obviously being so close, it brought it to another level of like, holy cow, this is a giant universe. This isn't just some one-off movie, right? And I kind of got that same feel. Granted, so much, what is it, 37-year difference between the first one and Afterlife. But still, it now created a separate layer, and I that's all I can say right now without revealing any spoilers.
Also felt all the love from behind the camera brought to the screen. Yeah. So this was made with fucking so much heart. It's incredible. What about you, Mr. Krueger? How'd you like it?
Yeah, I thought this was fucking awesome. This movie actually makes me like dislike Ghostbusters 2 even more than I do. Because like I watched them all right before I watched Afterlife. And like as soon as I got out of Afterlife, I'm like, yeah, Ghostbusters 2 isn't that good. Because like I just thought this was the perfect sequel, to be honest with you. Minus some of the perverse edge that the original Ghostbusters has. I think that's one thing that is kind of lacking in this. But outside of that, I think they hit all the fucking right bells and whistles. I really, really love the effects in this movie. There is some animatronics, which is something that I was really hoping for. And we did get that on top of just some of the best CGI effects I've seen in fucking recent years. I mean, this is on par with, you know, like GVK for me. And, you know, the CGI in that movie is absolutely breathtaking, and it is in this as well. And the returning ghost that we got, you know, obviously, you know, by the trailers, you know, we got the terror dogs and some of the other little surprises we got, I thought were fantastic. And the updates that we got to some of these characters was really, really fucking cool.
Stay puffed.
Yeah, just little things like the little Stay Puft marshmallows, or, you know, any of the other characters that we get without me spoiling anything. They really updated and added more to these characters that we know and love from the first film. And I thought that was awesome. The new cast I thought was great. I really felt for each one of these characters. I absolutely love Phoebe and Podcast, though. Like, they stole the show from Podcast. Is just like, I love that kid to death. And the way they bring his little story arc around towards the end of the movie, I thought was brilliant. And the dialogue, I thought was just, I don't know. I've laughed more in this movie than I probably have in, I mean, 100 movies that I've seen in theaters. Like, I was honestly laughing my ass off throughout the movie. Maybe it was because everybody else around me was laughing too, but I just had such a great theater experience. It brought back, it hit all the right nostalgia I wanted it to. Like I already said, the effects were great. So I fucking adored this. This is by far my favorite Ghostbuster sequel. And it's very, very close to the original, for me at least. And I really hope we get more of this universe. I think they did a really good job building a world that we could, you know, finally get a decent series out of, you know, or not a series, but a franchise.
I'll take a series.
I'll take a series too, but I really hope we get at least a couple more of these films with this cast and continuing the story, because I think it's honestly probably the best sequel we've gotten so far.
Maybe you'll get a real Ghostbusters animated reboot, because that was actually really good.
I loved that show, and this is the thing I was going to put over. It's not from the cartoon, but the two things that made me pop the most, and they're not one I'll save for spoilers. One is the gunner seat, because that's from the toy line. And I love the real Ghostbusters toy, and that was like the first time we see that in the trailer, I popped. But Dan posed the question, is this more Stranger Things than Ghostbusters? I think, Dan, the best way to answer it is, this is very Spielbergian. There's a lot of Spielberg you can
Amblin
feel.
As far.
Yeah, but I get the Stranger Things question because of...
It's very surface level. It is not Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Stranger
Not that that's Things a bad just,
thing. No.
I just feel like Stranger Things is so is just so different. You can't really compare the two, especially, and you don't have as many kids to fall in love with, I guess, as you do with Stranger Things. Like Stranger There's Things, you have this. Stranger Things, you have a wide variety of different characters you can pick from, choose from. You kind of have what, 3 to 4. Just set kids. But I do like, I understand the comparison because it does feel like when I was, just loving these characters, it felt kind of a similar way than as I felt when I was watching Stranger Things and falling in love with those characters. But they do it right to where it's not like, identical.
Yeah. I would not compare it to Stranger Things though.
Yeah.
Not even Goonies. It's not. But like, I don't know. I guess these Stranger Things.
that's what I
want to do.
Yeah, it's basically like if you put in your head kids with Ghostbusters mixed together, what's the best possible outcome? I thought this was that.
Yeah,
I said.
I cannot believe how much heart this movie had. Like that, there's several things in there, but like there's two things in particular, and I'll talk about that in spoilers. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I was like, I had a lump in my throat. Yeah, I got all melty eyes. I'm like, you fucking
made me tear up for sure.
Like, yeah, fucking amazing.
And that's very well. And like, I'm not even like. A diehard ghost, but like I love the first Ghostbusters movie, but like I've never been, one where I'm buying everything Ghostbusters. But I can tell if you are fucking so into that franchise that you have every Ghostbusters DVD that's out there, you're gonna love this movie. I at least I feel like I think what they did was they put so much fan service to the into this. Why still building a new world? And I'm like, I know a lot of reviews I've seen out there. They think there's too much fan service, but I thought it was a happy balance because I got to fall in love with all this new set of Ghostbusters while also getting all these awesome callbacks to the original that, made me fall in love with the franchise. So, yeah, I think they did it right, and I don't think it was too much fan service. I know we talk about that a lot, especially with other stuff, like Creepshow. I know we've talked about, the fan service, and that series is, sometimes gets a little overbearing. But this, I thought it was a good happy medium because it didn't go so much into fan service that we didn't care about any of these new characters. We really do care about them a lot.
The thing that, like, and I've said it, and I told it to Ozzy, I know, this does everything The Force Awakens did wrong. It does it right.
Oh, dude, so right.
I was going to say, what do you mean? Okay. Actually, it did this exact same thing for Force Awakens did. It just did it better. So I won't say it did anything wrong because it did exactly what it needed to do. This, however, nailed it on the head. I wasn't crying in Star Wars. I don't think.
Well, because they didn't do it right. I can't say it because it's a spoiler on this kind of. But I'll say what that is. It's the one thing that screwed the pooch on that movie. But
I think I know what you're gonna say. It's the exact fucking opposite. Anyway,
there's nothing wrong with fan service as long as that's not all it is.
Here's the thing is, Tyler, when you brought up that point about Force Awakens to me, and I started like looking at Force Awakens and then looking at Force Awakens like this. So Force Awakens, everybody was so focused on why are we following Rey around? Like, what's her deal in this whole thing? Is she a Skywalker? Is she a Solo? Is she a Kenobi? Is she whatever the fuck, right? Here, we already know what that answer is, so we know who she is and why we should care. Whereas Force Awakens has spent however much time trying to establish that, and then it's almost like J.J. Abrams wanted to just have it be ambiguous, so that way he could pick the result that nobody expected. You know what I mean? Instead of just picking something, going with it so he could just tell a story, he wanted to build that environment so he could find out what the biggest twist would be. Whereas this, not really a twist. You know from the trailer that this girl is the granddaughter of Spangler. So now you can move on with the story. With
that, I'm glad you brought that. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that's supposed to be a surprise the marketing team got away. It got hunted. It got Hillary swanked. Because when she finds that suit is when we're supposed to know. And it's, yeah.
That's so how it's written.
But yeah. Isn't it like one of the first lines of the trailer is that our grandfather left us this stuff on a farm?
Yeah, but they don't specifically say who the grandfather is.
But you look at her and you're like, you're putting. Gee, I wonder who she's related to. No.
But that's for us. The little kids aren't going to get that. The younger fans, like, why don't you need to tell that Ghostbuster story when you left the theater when we're in spoilers?
Oh my! Okay, yeah. Go. When we're in spoilers, okay.
The one thing I do like though is that how we kind of know that she is related to one of the OG Ghostbusters, and then just watching her, like, and they tell you that right away within the first, couple minutes of the movie, you get that whole story. And I liked how they let us as the audience watch them, discover that about themselves. I thought that was pretty cool, actually. That, they let us know something that the other characters didn't, and then we got to watch how that all played out.
You get to see the full growth of the character.
Well, and the character development, I thought, was really well done. I mean, just with Phoebe alone, she's a shy, just nerdy kid that loves electronics. And then what she
overstimulation becomes, calms me. Yeah, that was a good line. Such like an Egon line. Like, crack me up.
Yeah, I mean, that kid, man. Her, like I said, her and podcast, bro. Those two fucking alone, I could watch them just do anything and be entertained just with their banter between each other alone.
Well, her mom too, Carrie Coon. She's my god, it's such it's so good.
We didn't even talk about the best fucking teacher in the goddamn world. Like, dude, without spoiling anything, like that teacher and I would have fucking. I would have bought him a 12-pack after school.
But, film selection.
Dude, holy shit. Me and him would have been fucking tight as hell in high school. Like, holy shit.
Hell yeah, dude. I am coming to class.
Yeah. I had a teacher I brought in a bootleg of Wayne's World. That was the one. He wouldn't let me bring Basic Instinct, but like the horror stuff was the same. But I got away with some stuff. I got Friday the 13th 3 in there.
Just bring in I Spit on Your Grave and be like, yo, can we watch this tonight, Teach?
Oh, Dan, I never see Dan type that word. It's funny.
So Daniel Shine, Carrie Coon was great in The Leftovers. That is absolutely true.
Oh, you watched it? Okay, that's a show I feel like not enough people have seen.
I think I told this story before. I was at work one day, and like six people came in all dressed in white. As I was watching the show, I was like, oh my god, they're fucking here. Yeah, I love that show. That show just makes me feel like I want to, like I can taste the gun in my mouth. It's fucking awesome. But anyway, Ghostbusters, shall we rate this?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah. And then
any more non-spoiler before we fucking go?
And no, I'll bow out briefly when you do your spoiler talk, because I've not heard a single bad review yet.
Oh, I've heard a couple of terrible ones. But
really?
Okay. I've only listened.
Yeah, probably don't want to hang out with these people.
Dude, definitely. Like, there's some bitter motherfuckers out there for sure, but I don't see it, so I'll fucking just go first. I'm a 4.5 out of 5. It's, literally 0.5 off from the original, because I think the original is a masterpiece. And this is by far the best sequel we've gotten, in my opinion.
Fucking A. I'll go. I was a 4.5 up until today. I am now a 5, and I'm sticking with it. It's fucking great, and what kind of, I can't not praise a movie that choked me up. So, yeah. 5 out of 5 for me. What about you, Ozzy?
Yeah, it's tough because on the Farce episode, I had rated the original a 5 out of 5, and when I'd seen it specifically for Farce and not just one of the other times I enjoyed it, I really got to appreciate everything about it.
Especially Rapey Venkman, since I couldn't bring that up in the other
show. Oh, dude. He totally, dude, he would be so me too. It's not even funny.
But this one definitely made me feel like I was watching the original. Like it just fits so well that I can't rank it anything less than a 5. I mean, especially to Pug's point. I mean, I can't like just have a film choke me up and then it wasn't that great. You know what I mean? Especially since it wasn't like a cheap, you know, like a dog dying kind of thing. You know, like that's just a cheap cry moment. But this wasn't that. But it definitely a 5 out of 5 for me.
Right on. Todd?
Dan like went dark earlier. I'm a 5 in the original. I was like the perfect age.
He's
probably going
to be beautiful. Yeah, no. I'm a 5 on this one. Absolutely, it is. If I could give the original a 6, I would, because this one is like right there. But yeah, mm-hmm. 5 all the way.
Oh, you hear that?
So technically, this is a big one, big hole.
But yeah, well almost. Like I'm almost there with a 5.
Yeah,
but. I've only seen it once. I'm sure with rewatch value on this, I may eventually get to the 5 out of 5. And like I said, this makes Ghostbusters 2 look like dog shit. I'm sorry. It really fucking does. Like, just the plot alone in Ghostbusters 2 with the fucking baby, like, this takes that and Serbian films that.
you know, I will say what's unfortunate about that whole thing is that Peter McNichols actually gave a decent performance in that film.
Oh, he rules.
It's,
I would get that painting.
Shut up.
What's his name?
Janusz.
The fucking the art guy.
Yeah,
I'll even say that still.
I almost said something else. I just got back from a Guar concert. I forgot those words weren't right. But yeah, the art dude. Yeah, he was cool. And like Ghostbusters 2, like it does have a charm to it. But it, I just looking at this movie compared.
It doesn't compare. No, not at
yeah,
all.
It just like it takes that
night and day.
Yeah, it just takes it and smashes the shit out of it. It's like, no, that movie fucking sucked. This was 1,000 times better. But I do appreciate also that Ghostbusters 2 is included in this timeline. So hopefully we get a call back if we do get a sequel to, you know, this new series. But without further ado, why don't we get into spoilers real quick? So before we go into spoilers, why don't we pimp out everything? So I guess I'll fucking go. Patreon.com/FleshWoundFeatures starts at just $1, and you get uncensored, early and exclusive content on there. So please subscribe. We'd appreciate it very much. Also, we are on all the social medias, Twitter, Slasher, Discord, TikTok. We're on everything. Links are in the description. And
Dan's on Grindr.
Yeah. Hit up Dan on Grindr and, yeah, let's get into spoilers for Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Real quick before we do, I want to pimp this out. Next Monday will be our first live episode of Flesh Wound Farce.
Hey.
So make sure everyone's in the chat. And now it's spoiler time.
Okay, so first thing I have to just get out there. Animatronic demon dogs was the one thing I just wanted in this fucking movie going in. And the fact that I got animatronic demon dogs on top of demon dog fucking animatronics that were scanned to make the CGI model so everything looks fucking amazing. That's what they did with Shin Godzilla, which is why the CGI in Shin Godzilla and some of the close-ups just looks fucking phenomenal. And they did that in this movie, too, and it just, oh, my God, it looks so fucking great.
They also dropped some of the frames to make it look similar.
Yes.
Brilliant move.
Yeah, they dropped some of the frames in the CGI to make it look more practical, which, like, nobody is ever going to fucking think of that unless they actually have a heart in their soul and realize that practical effects are amazing. So I'm just grateful enough for that alone. And yeah, the CGI looks fucking great in this damn movie. Like,
one of the things that Ivan Reitman said, that extra, not Ivan, sorry, Jason, said that extra year gave them the time to, like, perfect everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, and the terror dogs alone, like, the texture and everything, it looked like a fucking practical effect when it wasn't. And, you know, and then when it was, it looked great.
It looked really scary. Like, yeah, I mean, watching the old one in 84 now in 2021 is like, oh, that's a puppet. But, and there I was like, mother, like, he, like, chasing him out of the Walmart or whatever is like, damn, this is fucking great.
And speaking of the Walmart, we need to talk about the fucking Marshmallow Men massacring the shit. Dude, they're massacring the shit out of each other.
Like, they like it rough, dude.
With smiles on their faces.
Yeah. Dude, it was awesome. Like, just they're fucking sticking each other in the head with fucking goddamn little plastic umbrellas, sticking each other in the blender, fucking setting each other on fire in the s'mores.
That, like, blender one, when he started doing that skydiving thing, I was like, oh, that wasn't where I thought I was going to go. And then, perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminded me a little bit of Gremlins.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, very yeah, for
in
sure.
That way.
Ben Grimm, what did you guys think of Muncher? Loved him.
Okay. I really like Muncher a lot. I like the whole caterpillar thing.
He's no slammer. You know, I was going to say that too.
I thought that was cool. He's no Slimer though. Like, I was hoping for a Slimer return, but I also like.
Well, you got to save that for the next one.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Slimer's in New York. Slimer. Let's just say that Slimer's in New York.
We gotta talk about Gozer though, dude. Because this Gozer was the shit, like the best. I don't give a fuck. Like, I love the original movie, but you can't watch this movie and say this Gozer isn't way more badass. Just the outfit alone,
it was Prometheus getup.
It was H.R. Geiger esque. Like, yeah. I was like, oh my fucking god! And then when she tears that motherfucker in half that summoned her, and
which J.K. Simmons, by the way, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yes, it was.
Which, as soon as he popped up, I busted up laughing because, like, why not, right? But absolutely, to your point, I popped hard. I thought that was fantastic. Dude. Like, God of the Underworld, let's do something fucking crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, it was so cool. It just the way they tied everything in. And that's the one thing about this movie that I don't think a lot of people are appreciating. It's expanding upon the lore that we already have set in the, you know, first two Ghostbusters worlds. So that's awesome. And the bisection, man. Just, like, they got away with it on the PG-13 movie, too. So, like, shout out for that. I guess we can rip people in half as long as we don't show too much blood. So
they know how to get by.
Yeah, I'm Gozer was hard as fuck. And also the whole thing with Gozer was, like, one of the terror dogs got taken out. So he or she was, like, half skeleton looking at, like, oh, that was just so cool. I was, like, super impressed with everything that we got with that character alone.
If we don't get some sexy Gozer cosplay, I'm going to be upset. I'm just saying that.
Oh, no, I think it's going to happen.
If this came out in September, we would have gotten plenty of that this year.
Oh, yeah.
And now we'll just have to wait till 2022.
Yeah, we got to wait till 2021. And, dude, the claws, like, I love that shit. Oh, fuck, dude. Yeah, they did such a good job just expanding the lore, making other old characters just cool again. You know, not that they were never not cool. Like, Gozer back in the day was cool and everything. But fucking this one's so much better. And I love the callback with what's up, flat top or whatever said. That, yeah, that shit was great.
They learn from Pryor because they when she asked again, are you a
yes,
god?
Yes, 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 we're all gods. I
popped,
I think that's the only one there.
Yeah, I popped so hard for that alone. And then I wasn't really expecting them to be such, you know, it wasn't like a huge part of the movie, but it was enough for me. You know what I mean? With them.
Oh, it was impactful. Like, yeah,
it was. I mean, it brought everything together so nicely. And they didn't like skimp out. It wasn't fucking some Candyman 2021 bullshit where they show Tony Todd for 5 fucking seconds. And speaking of which, tell everybody, fuck you, dude. This is the way to do it. Like,
and we haven't even talked about the third act that. But I did. I did want to say, oh, geez. Okay, Ozzy, this is for you. I did pop for Raise a Cult. So there's that. That's a 2 reference. So.
Mm-hmm. And who's paying the bill? That was pretty cool.
You know, it's reparations for not putting them on either.
You know, so it was strange. In the poster, right? And Todd, did you just say this about the poster? Is that Ernie Hudson was on the poster for the first one, but not on the poster for the second one?
No. He's not on the poster. He's not on the poster for the first one, or the DVD art, or the Blu-ray, or the 4K art.
He probably is, just he blends in with the black background.
Yeah, I might be thinking of the video games because I remember thinking specifically, like looking at Ghostbusters 2 and like how come Winston isn't on here, but he's on Ghostbusters 1? So it might have been video game covers. I might be thinking.
I do have a question, though. So, like, with the post credits, can we confirm that Sigourney's in fucking the next one, please? Like, can we get her in the next one?
Where's Oscar?
That's the one question. I'm glad we didn't deal with it. Oh, I mean, where's Oscar?
Dude, they could pull a Candyman and have him fucking go after Oscar and tie that in. Oh, dude, I'm fucking game for that shit to do it with what's homeboy, the pitcher?
Vigo?
Name? Vigo, yeah. Yeah, you have Vigo go after Oscar's fucking, you know, adult body. I'm down with that. And then you got
I like it.
Podcast and fucking... Mike from Stranger. What the fuck was his name in this movie? I can't
remember.
Mike from Stranger Things.
All I know is Meg knows how to court a woman and then still marry an impregnator. Just say. but we haven't talked.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to get to the part, the moment they
were. Where we all cried?
Yeah, basically.
Oh, okay. So right before. Okay, so seeing those guys, the three living members.
We were all waiting for him.
Yeah, but like it also didn't dawn on me how long it took for them to get there because like I saw him on the phone. Okay, we got one. Let's continue with the story. But when they got there to help, and I was like, "This is great."
Technically, we get Egon at the beginning too, in Shadow.
Yeah,
See the four of them together, like with the shot of expanding, and then you see, you know, Egon, the image of them, and you see the four of them, and like, yeah, I was totally tearing up, and in my mind, it's like, oh. I think this is what all the people watching Avengers were telling me they were crying for. Because a ton of people cried at Avengers and I didn't know why, right? But to me, this was more impactful because, like, I'd seen these four specific guys all the time as a kid. You know what I mean? And whereas comic books, like, you see each of the characters, like, in your mind. And sure, it's happening in the movie, but these are like this. And... man, like the look in Ray's eyes, like in all their eyes, it's like the it wasn't face. Just. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh no, I just meant like, you know, over the phone where he's, you know, he mentions like, oh, he's a son of a bitch. I hope he rots in hell. Yeah. Like, and then he tells him, well, he died last week or whatever. And like,
yeah, his face,
it just breaks, and it's like, man. There's a little realism there to it. You know what I mean? And I felt that at the end as well. It was really, that was incredible to see. And, you know, blessing in disguise, giving them an extra time to make everything perfect in terms of the CGI. Just.
Well, and it looked amazing. Like, it, in my opinion, like, I've seen what they did with, you know, Star Wars with
Leia.
Leia. And like this looks so much better than that, like mm-hmm. in my opinion. Like this was just fucking great. And yeah, I really like I got choked up. And the thing that just, like, I couldn't stop smiling after this happened was when they put, you know, for Harold.
Oh, absolutely. And,
oh, my God.
And so before they even fucking got to the credits, though, like, yeah. that hit, like, in my heart. I was like, you know what? They had the balls to even, like, say, fuck this official shit. We're going to put for Harold right after that, motherfucker, because we love him, and we know you guys love him, too. And, like, yeah, it brought a fucking tear to my eye, and it was just, there's very few movies I think could pull that off the way they did in this properly, and this was perfect.
Yeah. When we see fucking Harold helping his granddaughter hold the blaster,
oh,
and,
my God.
Like, just the group shot of all of them, like, they're kind of passing the torch, but they're there with them. My hair's standing up. It's fucking great. So good.
Dude, when they Homer Simpson that shit, and they're like, he's been watching her all these years and was doing it for her. I was like, I need the
and
whole
thing. She was all of her anger just flowed away. She's like, fuck, he was saving the world. But in his eyes, I'm like, he's mostly saving his daughter because that, you know. That's his world. Yeah. Everyone else is just lucky that he's there to do it. When Paul Rudd fucking broke. Is it Annie Potts?
See, it should be, but there's no acknowledgement.
What do you mean there's no acknowledgement? At the very end of isn't it the end credits? Like the very, very end
credits?
That
was the deleted scene from the first movie.
Yeah. Yeah, but that doesn't acknowledge that that's the because they cut out the love interest.
Why? Why would they show that now?
Because why not? Okay, if that
well,
was
to
daughter,
illustrate that
you,
this
I
the mother
that.
Is that it's Janine, and because if you think about it,
that
well.
Needs to be resolved too.
Yeah, because she acknowledge that was her daughter when she meets her?
Because she probably gave her up for adoption.
Well,
because look at the way Janine was from 1 to 2. Hold on a second. And I know, like, 2, we like to make a joke out about it, but if we really wanted to, like, fall in the trend of thing, like, how she was in 1 versus how she was in 2, you know?
I think we need an actual, you know, but that may be on purpose. There was some unresolved questions on purpose. The biggest one that people will not let go of is why doesn't it say 2 on the thing? Why does it have the 2 on it that goes on the Ecto-1? That's, like, the one thing people are stuck on.
Really?
And I gotta say what I heard when I was leaving the theater. There was a group of kids, which, by the way, I mean, Jesus Christ, when the mother was going all Dana Barrett, right, and the way she was acting and the heavy breathing, right, like, you understood what was going on. Some fucking kids did not. And they just had that awkward laugh. We're like, oh, what's going on? You're like, I want to fucking punch you in the face so fucking hard. Webb's like, would you go watch Back to the Future Part 3 without watching Back to the Future Part 1, 2? Like, just fucking curious or whatever the fuck. Anyway, back to the point. As I was leaving and waiting for the crosswalk, I overheard, you know, like, at first I didn't really understand it, but after watching it a third time, it really clicked. And it took so much energy just not turn around like, what was so hard? What was so hard after the first time that you did that it didn't click with you? What was in the way of preventing it from it clicking in your head? What said, no, this doesn't make sense, but I didn't want to get into it.
Also, but that's good for the movie. As long as he paid 3 fucking times.
Yeah, right? It's like, you want to spend $60, go right ahead.
I know. I'm so ashamed of my numbers. I'm still at 1. If my child wasn't here, I'd be up to like 6 by now.
I did want to see it again. I haven't, but yeah. It's day 1 buy for me. It's too fucking good.
It's one of those movies, like, I left the theater.
I don't
want to
see it again in public.
And immediately wanted to watch it again. Like,
yeah, me
as
too.
Soon as I left the theater, I wanted to watch
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I don't want to see it again in public.
No. You don't want to cry alone.
No, yeah, I want to cry alone. You said it brought a tear to your eye. It brought several to mine.
Right on. Dude, it gets you right in the fucking feels, man.
Yes, it
like,
does.
Like, we all grew up with that shit, Kruger.
Exactly.
You too, because
yeah.
You know, it's been around since you've been alive. Yeah. Same with me. So, like, I've had years with these fucking people. Now I got to hang out with their fucking, well, not hang out, but I got to watch their grandkid fucking take on the mantle? Fuck yes, please. Give me all
the... I think it's... I'm sorry to cut you off, but I think the choice of subconscious wording you just chose is indicative of how the movie made you feel. Now I get to hang out with, you know, the next generation. You didn't feel like you were watching a movie. You felt like you were hanging out on this adventure with them.
These are my people.
I thought that was, I thought that was important to bring up because, you know, so many movies make you feel like you're watching a movie. Like more with Star Wars, you didn't feel like you were hanging out with Rey or whatever.
I hang out with Kylo. Fuck Rey.
Or okay, whatever. But you get my point.
Yes.
No, and I agree with you. Like you really feel like, you know, you're with them uncovering, you know, how they tie into the Ghostbusters story, which is, you know, just so fucking cool. And I couldn't have, like, I honestly, like, I left the theater saying I couldn't have asked for anything more than what this movie gave me.
I'm still surprised I didn't see Paul Rudd in a Ghostbusters uniform, but maybe in the sequel.
Dude, can we just get Rick Moranis for like
if he wants to?
They tried to. We know that.
They probably played the sympathy card too.
Right. It's the whole thing. Is there was nothing for, he wouldn't have added anything. I don't think he wanted. He wants to revisit things he's done, much less get stuck in the Nanny Plots cameo.
Man,
there's not enough left to work.
I did not like the man who hit him in the post office. However, if that guy knew he said no to it, I'm going to look the other way just a little bit. But still, don't touch my friend.
Damn.
I mean, come on, guys. You could have just popped up. Even the Zoom thing.
There will not be a jury in America that will convict you.
Well.
I should have said.
I'm going to keep my jokes for later.
I will say that I'm doing some work on the side here, and I actually don't have the visual up, so it didn't really hit me until the pause hit.
Cool. Yeah, Pugs has to be good.
Doing my best. No 50 lashes, please. Oh, wow.
Rick Moranis is doing a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids thing for Disney Plus, though. Well, they must have gave him something meaty to do.
He better get a fucking cameo in the Little Shop of Horrors remake. I swear to fucking God.
Let's not have a separate discussion where we yell at Pugs for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I'll beat your ass, motherfucker.
Because we saw your rating. We have a whole other issue.
Oh, that's fine. we'll get there.
I know why you gave it the 2.5. Let's just put it that way. What's Audrey fucking reminds you of somebody.
Okay.
All right. On that note, do we have anything else before we cut off spoilers?
I'm good. Go see this shit.
Wait till the very, very end, just in case. Like
I got all these spoilers. I left after the first post credit, so I need to go back and watch the other one.
Shame on you.
You should just go up to the theater and be like, "Hey, I was here last night, but I walked out during the end credit. Could you just like let me in, just like the last like." That seems like it'd be like a good Curb episode. Listen, I saw the movie. I get it. Yeah, there's this end credit scene. Well, you could just buy another ticket. I get that, but it's $20. You know, I already bought. I'm not asking to rewatch anything I haven't seen already. I'm still watching this clip for the first time. You know.
Well, Mr. David, as a filmmaker yourself, you should know to stay to the end. Am I wrong?
There's an entire world
for the record,
of a non-1% Curb. Sorry, what?
I said Ozzy would make a horrible middle.
You don't even want to get me started on that. I would embarrass people with my middle skills.
All right. On that note, I guess we can bring the hat back.
Oh, he finally decided to return?
Well, he said to bring him in whenever we were done with spoilers.
Oh, that's why he left.
Yeah. So there we go. So make sure you go see that shit, Dan.
Remember that time that Kate McKinnon showed up? Oh, wait, Dan's here. No, I didn't mean to spoil it.
I don't think the reviews would be as positive if there were crossover from that. But I wanted to. It's actually good because I'll get to see it with my brother. And that was part of my problem in between holiday stuff. It's like, you know, I could have snuck out early, but he saw it in a theater too, so it was a really big deal. Like, he's
the original
older. Yeah, he I was just not quite old enough to see it in the theater, unfortunately.
Wasn't it 84? You weren't even born, dude.
Couldn't
see. Oh, not quite old enough to go to the theater. No shit, sir.
My brother's 12 years older than me, so yeah.
Yeah, I was 7 or 8 when this, I think it, wait, 7?
You were 8.
So I was perfect. Well, it depends what time of year it was. My birthday's in November, so this came out summertime, so I would have technically been 7.
Do you remember, like...
Absolutely. I remember the theater. I remember everything. The weekend before or after, I saw Gremlins. I saw one of them on a sneak preview, so I saw it a week early. And I don't remember which I saw first, but I remember very specifically seeing both of them.
Hmm.
So...
I envy your old age.
Trust me, you won't know. But when you get there, you'll be like, damn it, I wish I was 20 years younger.
I can remember like some of the first big crowd films. My brother to this day said Batman was like he had never seen a movie. He saw that in DC and like it was insane.
I remember my time going to see Batman. I was 3. I remember it vividly. Went to Black Angus and then we walked across the street to the fucking theater. It was
vividly
because awesome.
I was there too. It's like I can vaguely remember, but you know, 3 going on 4, whatever I was, it was.
No, that shit made an impact on me.
Oh, that's awesome.
That one in Jurassic Park. Yeah, Jurassic Park 2. The first.
My first midnight movie was Batman. And Ozzy, my second midnight movie was Dick Tracy. And they gave us a Dick Tracy shirt, and they wrote the time on it.
Well, I think that's fitting that's because awesome. You're such a dick.
I don't know any Tracys, but... All right. Do we have anything else, Pimp, before we get out of here? I know Ozzy has to go hit the streets.
Flesh Wound Farce, live episode, this Monday.
Yeah. Give me my money, Ozzy.
Yeah.
Yes, live Flesh Wound Farce, also our annual Black Friday sales show, Vinegar Syndrome Severin. Come shop with us. It's always one of our more popular shows, so you can hear us curse if Severin's down and all that good stuff.
Come on, Dan, get all frustrated. That's a good
extra
thing.
Frustrated this year because Night of the Demon.
You know what? Here's the thing. I'm going to just chill with my feet up because I'm going to go pick up those titles in person on Friday. So, double middles.
And your video.
Wait a second. How could you kick your feet up and simultaneously go pick up titles in person?
No.
He's going to film it so you can see it when you drop it on the channel here.
Yep.
It's amazing.
Don't try to use science on me, Ozzy.
I know you're.
I defy science.
Logic are enemies.
Yes.
Figuratively. Right.
So that Resident Evil review also coming as well. So I'm sure that'll be interesting.
Sounds exciting.
Absolutely.
So you want to come back for that?
No, because I'm not going to watch a horror movie in the theater ever again.
Oh, Jesus.
Why?
I'm not one of those guys. I'm not one like, I don't need to feel this way. Why am I paying
package
money
pile
to,
driver for
to
you
feel
next time I see you.
Anxious?
Like, it's Resident Evil.
Suplex City, motherfucker.
Yeah,
like, Resident Evil, where I played Resident Evil like on a screen 19 inches big. I don't want to see like
Ozzy's
the trailer
scared.
Looks like it's actually legit. Yeah, I get scared. I did a I did the Resident Evil 2 play along thing or whatever. And I had plenty of moments where I jumped out of my chair that I was like, okay, at least I'm playing a video game. I don't want to be stuck in the theater watching moments for me to jump out of my seat.
That's awesome.
Here's a compromise.
Well, here's a compromise. I apologize. You're desensitized. What?
As a proud Chilean, there's a Chilean film called Trauma.
I'm not going
to watch it on the big screen.
We did some sort of...
Watch along.
We did some sort of watch along or not watch along review where you're like, hey, this has a guy in a lucha mask, so we have to watch it for or whatever the hell.
We were testing out the format.
No, shut up. You told me I had to watch this movie, and then there was something that happened that grossed me out so much I don't even want to repeat it. I was like, I don't need to watch any of these movies.
This
so,
is light, though. Trauma's not that bad.
I don't trust your opinions on anything.
It's R-rated.
I don't know what's light
There's
to you.
Nudity,
you're wearing
not.
A fedora. I don't know what your taste in is in anything else.
Just it's give so, the movie 3 minutes and let's see if you like it. 3 minutes.
It's Chilean. It's for your people.
Moving on.
You'll love it.
Actually, we're leaving. So,
yeah,
Dan, take the shit. Let's get the fuck out of here.
There you go.
All right. FleshWoundFeatures.com, Patreon.com/FleshWoundFeatures, where Ozzy will be doing trauma here soon. And that's all I got for you guys. Good night.
Mr. Kruger.
Stay sick, motherfuckers.
Mr. Todd.
Good evening.
Mr. Ozzy V.
Good night. See you live on Monday.
And I'll see you in Disneyland.